Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. Now, today I'm bringing a very special episode to you. It's one that I'm very excited to bring you, but one that also I was very scared to record and I was very worried about. On today's episode, I have Samantha Yardley. And earlier this week, Samantha ended up all over the Daily Mail. And she ended up all over This Morning, the ITV show here in the UK. And that meant that she ended up all over social media as well. And all because she released an article that was very controversial and it was fat-shaming people. I watched the interview. I read her article. I then watched the response kind of come through on Instagram and other social media platforms, and I decided to message her and ask her to come on to The Fitness Solution to discuss it with me. I felt very intrigued about her opinion, and I felt very intrigued about who she was and the angle that she had on this. The headlines that she came out with were, "I won't employ extremely overweight people because they're less productive according to studies." And the article was akin to that kind of message. The person I was expecting to talk to turned out to be very, very different to the person I actually ended up talking to. And that is very important when you listen to this interview. It's very important because I think actually Samantha played the game a little bit and she got caught out a little bit. Granted, she still said those words and she still has written that and put that all over the media. And it has rightfully angered some people. But the person that came into the interview and the person I've been speaking to in terms of arranging the interview and the back and forth we've had on stuff, the person I saw on TV was an extremely different person to the person that I got to talk to. And it just goes to show how we can, the whole thing goes to show that no matter who you are, when we only see one side of anything, it's a problem. Samantha's opinion came across as extremely one-sided. The media only presented one side of her as a person. And it therefore caused the uproar it caused. In the interview, we talk about we're all out there to help one person. It's all I ever talk about in terms of the content I create. If even this podcast, if this podcast helps one person, then I feel like I've done my job. And Samantha very much had that opinion about her article and her view on it. And that was, if I can just help one person, if one person listens to it, then, or reads it, then she feels like she's done okay. However, I do think when the message is so polarizing, but not only so polarizing, when the message lacks empathy, and when the message lacks nuance, and when the message lacks such understanding of the topic which you're talking about, and then when that topic plays into people's feelings, I do feel like we have to be more careful. No, there's no feel like, we do have to be more careful. If you're tuning into this episode and you want me to sit here and in the interview you're hoping I just take her to town, I just slander her and I just give her all of the opposition, and then you're in the wrong place. Samantha has put up with lots of abuse since the interview went out. And many will argue that it was well deserved. She shouldn't have had such harsh opinions on people. But as I say in the interview, and as is my attitude towards everything, we should always treat anyone with love, care, empathy. And I think really that's what Samantha's article was missing. And I think that's definitely what didn't come across in the This Morning interview. So we discussed that. We have a very interesting conversation about it. And in fact, the consequences of her coming onto the Fitness Solution and the consequences of how I've handled this, apparently, and the consequences of the interview itself and everything else. She messaged me the other day and she said, thank you so much. Going forward, as a result of how nice you've been about everything, I will definitely be so much more careful about the way I word things, about how I phrase things, and the kind of topics I talk about. She said that she was just got under pressure to hit publish for this particular article, and she just sat down and wrote it. Hindsight is always 20/20. I understand that. And it's always something that is going to, it can also be too late, hindsight. I understand that as well. But in fact, the fact that I've been able to have a conversation with Samantha, I was able to go into it with an open heart, and she was able to respond to that. And we've now moved her opinions forward, and we've hopefully changed the way in which she's going to write moving forward. And that the conversation has educated not just her, but anyone else listening to this, anyone else who has her opinion. Or what I would love from this episode is that the next time, because I've heard it as well, the next time someone's in the gym and they hear someone go, well, you know what you got to do, you got to eat less and move more, I really hope this interview empowers them to say, actually, that's not a good enough response. And that's actually not what has to go on, because that is an oversimplification. And human behavior is so much more nuanced than that. And then I hope that the interview gives them words, thoughts, feelings that help them have that conversation and educate that attitude out of someone and moves them forward in their opinion of whatever or whoever they were talking about in terms of eat less, move more. So I really hope you enjoy the interview. If you have any questions, if you want to discuss any topics further, if you need anything about this, if you want to reach out or anything like that, then feel free. Hit me up on Instagram. It's @thegymstarter. Put a comment, put a question in the review on the Apple Store. That I'll see that and I'll be able to answer that. Or you can email me, adam@thegymstarter.com. And I would love to have a conversation. Even if you're listening to this thinking, well, I don't really understand what was wrong with what was said, then email me. And I promise you, I'll respond with no judgment, no anger. And I will do exactly with you what I've tried to do here and move the conversation forward. Because that's all it's ever about. Education, development, and understanding. Empathy, love, and care. So I think that's enough from me. Let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. On the other end of the line, coming from, you're based in the Midlands, aren't you, of the UK?
That's right, yeah.
Perfect. Is Samantha Yardley. Samantha Yardley is a fitness writer and well, I'll get her to tell you who she is in a moment. And she's decided to come onto the Fitness Solution because I asked her, basically, like I do all of my guests, to chat about something that's happened to her this week, basically, as she was on national TV. And it's been an absolute roller coaster from what we can tell. So
Got some time for on to just chat all things fitness, fitness writing, what it's like being on national TV, and everything like that. So say hey, Samantha.
Hi, everyone.
So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, where you're from, and everything else.
Okay. Well, my name's Sam, Samantha Yardley. I'm a fitness writer. I write about all topics, but I sort of specialise in fitness. Mm-hmm. I live in the Midlands.
How long have you been a fitness writer?
Probably 2.5 years.
Okay. Oh, perfect. How did you get into it?
It's a really long story. I'll tell you
because
it's kind of interesting. I'm sure it will probably provoke a lot more hate in my direction. That's all right.
So, they've got to go through me first, so don't worry about it. All right.
More exclusives for you. I used to own a gun shop.
A gun shop?
Gun, yes. Unusual for a female. In England.
Unusual in England, full stop.
Yeah, yes it is, yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's difficult to do.
I bet.
Anyway, so that closed, and I was sort of having like this epiphany. I was speaking to my dad, he was like, what do you want to do with your life? Because, you know, you can't do anything. I've always had like my own businesses and property and stuff like that, but right, okay. I needed like a direction. Hmm. And I said, I've always wanted to be a writer. And it's going to sound so strange, but I kind of did like some visualization style stuff. I don't want to sound too hippie.
No. To be fair, on the podcast, like just last week, I had someone called Lily Nicole on, and she's in California, and she calls herself like a manifestation coach. And she believes in like how when we start manifesting things, it starts to influence our behavior and it starts to bring those things towards us. Mm-hmm. And so we're all hippie on here. Don't worry. And on Sunday, I'm being interviewed on something called the Woo Effect. Like it's a hypnosis podcast.
I love that.
Right, so don't worry. Be as woo as you need to. Okay. It's cool. It's chill.
So I tried like a bit of visualization, and literally maybe 4 or 5 days after, I got a call. Someone who was running like some very prominent fitness magazines.
Yeah.
Couldn't find any decent writers.
Okay.
And they were talking to a friend of mine, and they're like, "Oh, well, actually, Samantha's really interested in that." And they're like, "Well, she doesn't really have any experience. Like, no offense." So they invited me, they invited me to do a few articles, and luckily they liked them, and off the basis of that, I was in the door, and then after like a couple of months, I was promoted to sub-editor, so that was great.
Perfect, after a couple of months, what a rise to the top.
I'm really lucky, I'm just so lucky, yeah.
You've got to tell me more about the gun shop, because that just sounds too interesting to be ignored.
Yeah, well, like you say, it's an unusual thing to get into. Mm. My dad was always really into like military guns, so upbringing. And I used to have an army surplus shop, which sounds really odd.
I've been to army surplus shops a lot in my life. I used to be an air cadet, so I was always in there buying my fatigues, my camos and stuff like that. Yeah, it is. It was really good quality stuff.
It's great for recycling and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the bags I bought, they probably still last now if I needed
them. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my weird background, and then I fascinated like the live gun side.
yeah. Have you shot a gun?
Yeah.
What, like big ones, automatics?
Just shotguns and stuff. You can't really shoot automatics in this country.
No, I was in Australia last year, and not last year, 2 years ago, and I got to shoot a shotgun out there. God, they're powerful things. They're crazy.
Yeah, it depends on the cartridge that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. That's awesome. So that's great. Got into fitness writing and you went from there. So what's your path kind of like? How have you learned fitness? What's your path into fitness been and all the rest of it?
I think first and foremost, I was a writer. Like I love like the power of words.
Mm.
But I've always like tried to go to the gym and keep relatively healthy. I guess I was like initially your cardio bunny, you know, like your average cardio bunny. And I found weights and just loved that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And it's just been like self-experimentation and kind of writing about that.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you learn as you go, don't you? And I've been doing it for a while now, so.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. So tell us what inspired you to write the infamous article?
I'm not sure I can say because it involves someone that I know personally.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So I don't want to say that.
No. That's absolutely fine. That's not a problem at all. Let me just give the listeners some context because they might not know what's going on. Okay. So Samantha put an article up on her website, and I can't remember the title of it, but I have read it. And can you remember the title of it?
I can, but the title is the worst part. It's going to make me sound terrible when I tell you.
But in the article, you go, look, I put this up there. It's kind of clickbaity. And let's face it, we all do it. Like, my YouTube is full of, like, this is how. This is the only way. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have to, in the fitness industry, we all have to play the game a little bit. So with that in mind, what was the article? What was the title?
This could be edited so badly.
No, that's another thing. I don't edit it at all. Oh, I promise you. No. I like what we say here is going to go up. Like all the little ins and outs. So don't worry. I'm not gonna manipulate the conversation in any way, shape, or form. Okay, I promise. No, I promise. I don't have time to edit. I mean, God, I'm just a guy in his laptop. So go on. What was it? Or what was the premise of it? What was the premise of it, if you don't want to share the title?
I'll share the title. It was Why You Should Never Work With Fat People.
Right, okay.
However, just to explain, give some context, in the next line in the intro, I say, that was me being controversial to grab your attention.
You definitely do.
Please allow me to explain, and then I give a more balanced opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you hit the title, you get the clickbait. Okay, so you wrote this article, didn't you? And then this article was inspired by something in your life, like a lot of what we write about is. Mm-hmm. And then that got picked up by this morning.
The Daily Mail initially.
Right. Okay. So you ended up on the Daily Fail.
Daily Mail, yes.
The Daily Mail. Sorry. I'm a bit of a left-wing socialist. So the Daily Mail is not my friend. You got picked up by the Daily Mail. They wrote an article based on this blog piece.
They basically picked out all of the juicy bits and made me sound. They vilified me, which I understand. You know, I get it. It's journalism. Yeah. And then off the back of that, that's where ITV picked me up.
Right. Okay. There's a surprise. ITV and the Daily Mail are like that. So you ended up on the popular TV show This Morning with Eamon Holmes and the other lady. I don't know who she is. I don't watch TV.
And, I don't watch TV either. I love that.
I don't have a TV license.
I do have a TV license.
I win.
You win. You definitely win.
and they basically interviewed you based on this. And so tell us about that whole experience, about what it's like having the Daily Mail write about you, and then what it's like ending up on national TV. Like, I've been on national TV. My background's an actor, but not in a kind of journalistic point of view. Like, as an actor, I've been on there. And it's quite a fun experience, to be honest. Like, just seeing yourself on the and stuff. Imagine with social media, it's a bit more different now. Like, back when I did it, there wasn't so much social media and stuff. So tell us what the whole experience of, like, this week has been.
Well, I think a lot of people aren't going to believe me here either. Honestly, I was literally dreading it. They kept moving the date along a little bit, and for literally about a week, I was just in a state of complete fear. I was just absolutely petrified for a whole week, literally dreading my whole life. People don't believe it when I say it, but I'm very shy and introverted, really. Like, it's really my idea of hell. I don't like any attention, never mind, like, you know, the really extreme negative attention I've been getting, just any. I'm like, no, please. And I was literally petrified.
I'm not surprised. I'd probably be very scared as well. Mm-hmm. Especially when the topic is so, and did you know the topic would be so controversial?
Yeah, I did. I knew what I was setting myself up for. So, you know, right. I take responsibility, you know.
Yeah, of course. No, of course. Like, we all would. And then, so the interview went out 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
The interview went out 2 days ago. And what's it been like since the interview went out?
Just quite a whirlwind, really. I just feel really exhausted. So I did like 3 radio interviews yesterday.
Who for?
One was called Rover Radio. They're a national American station.
Mm-hmm.
BBC, Coventry and Warwickshire Radio, they're local to me.
Yeah.
And then an Irish show, the Niall Boylan Show, I think. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But actually, they were really fun. I did like them. I think maybe because there wasn't a visual element and I could just speak.
Radio is great, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was just a bit more comfortable. You know, after doing ITV, you know, some radio stations, I could handle a bit more.
Yeah, of course. And how did those radio interviews go?
I think they went well. I got my point across more. You know, obviously, the first instance, I was petrified, 7 minutes. Yeah. It was just scary, but I could get my point across a little more, I think, in the radio interviews.
Yeah, you have much more space than you in radio, and there's much more of a dialogue that gets created. I mean, when I've done BBC 5 Live and BBC Essex and stuff, because I'm down here in the South. Don't judge me, I'm an Essex boy. And And it is. It's just it's why I like podcasting so much, because you can have just a proper conversation, can't you? And it's much, much nicer. So, and then, and obviously there's been quite a bit of backlash come your way.
The backlash, yes. There's been some.
Yeah, I bet it has, doesn't it? And like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've said, or what you've done in your life, really. I mean, aside from being a criminal and something like that, like some of the things that you've shared with me that you've been privy to, like people have sent you and stuff, has been utterly disgusting, to be honest. Because at the end of the day, you have an opinion. And that's one, what makes the fitness industry so bloody amazing, is that it's literally just full of opinion. And it's full of your opinion, my opinion, other people's opinions. And that's what creates this conversation. Like, if nothing else, you've opened up a whole world of really interesting stuff. Like, I've learned so much getting ready for this interview, looking at other people who have written and done stuff about the interview you had. So it's advanced me. And I'm sure it's advanced other people, and it's actually pushed people into different directions. It's probably pushed a few people into your camp. It's probably pushed a few people into kind of like the more
hating me camp.
The more what? Sorry.
Hating me camp.
No. The more kind of empathetic camp, right? And stuff like that. And so all the while, we're creating a balance in the fitness industry by having these really hard conversations and by having these really, really, really difficult topics that we have to tackle, because there's always two sides to every coin, right?
There is. Like, having an opinion is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So many people are so sensitive and so frightened to voice their opinion.
You're not wrong there. You're not wrong in the slightest. And I'm not being funny, the backlash you've received is probably a big reason as to why. I'm sure you'll think twice about writing something like that again, which is equally sad. And, you know, I mean, they'd obviously argue they've got the result they wanted, but through fear and hatred is not the way to change minds and to get any result.
I think I've had a lot of people who are extremely obese reach out to me for help and say they agree and they're going to make a change, and I'm genuinely going to help them, and that's what I was trying to achieve. However, would I do it again, having received threats of that people want me to be raped and stuff? I don't think I would.
No, and I totally get that. I mean, part of what I always say when I put out a piece of content, when I do an interview like this, when I go onto a podcast, whatever I do, part of what I say is, like, I'm literally trying to find one human being. And
that's what I said. If I can help one human being, can I take the brunt of all that
to help them? If any personal trainer worth their salt, or any personal trainer in general, understands this principle, we're all basically talking to one person whenever we do something. And the fact that you've had some people come to you and go, actually, those are the words I needed to hear. Yes. I'm going to, in inverted commas, pop my ideas up. No, it shouldn't be in a strange way, because that was that. Let's get into it then. That was the result you wanted, right?
It was. That's exactly what I wanted. Yes.
So what did the article say? And go through the article for us.
The Daily Mail one or my original blog?
Your original point, because I don't really care for the Daily Mail and I don't really care for the ITV interview too much. Like, they did what they did. They've mashed it up. They've changed it. They've picked out the juicy bits and the rest of it. But the key point was you believe that people who are overweight are people you personally don't want to work with. Or
in
not?
The article, I didn't say overweight. I said myself, I've been overweight. Yeah. We can all get overweight. We all fluctuate. And that's so normal. And so it's healthy. It's fine.
Yeah.
I talked about the very extreme ranges, including being very underweight. Mm-hmm. And being morbidly obese, that's not healthy. It's not healthy either way.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's called morbidly obese for a reason. Like, you're killing yourself, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, but that needs to be addressed.
Okay. And when I have conversations like this, right, common ground, okay, let's look for common ground, and you're completely right, okay? Mm-hmm. Morbidly obese is a position that people need to try and look for ways to retract from in terms of their own physical health.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for their family, you know, for the people around them, for the people around them, if nothing else.
It doesn't matter who it's for. Just that it's any doctor, anyone in the world will say that, right? And it's, you know, like, there's a reason we have the BMI scale, and there's a reason that we have these two zones in it that are, come on, we need to figure out a way of taking action, and that's a common ground that I think everyone would kind of agree with. So then. How do you think these people need to start figuring out their fitness?
I think they need to reach out for help. I think, like, I personally, I'll spend my time for free helping them for a start, if I can get that out there. I mean, I've discussed, you know, like the basic principles.
Wait. Don't take business away from me. Come on, that's not fair.
Okay, go to Adam, please.
I'm joking. So go on. So yeah, you'd help them for free and you discuss, sorry, carry on.
I was just saying, I've discussed like the basic principle, which is a calorie deficit. Like, that's the science. And yeah, so many people have really berated me for that because they're saying it's really not that simple. And, you know, I understand there are underlying reasons as to why you've got into that state, but the basic principle does remain.
Okay. Yeah. Like a calorie deficit, like.
Yeah.
A calorie deficit is, I remember Martin McDonald, who's a fantastic nutritionist. He's based in Loughborough, actually. So quite close to you. He's phenomenal. He runs like a Mac Nutrition, everything. And he always said a calorie deficit is simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a bit of sort of an idiot's guide, really. I mean, there are different things to consider, like macronutrients, micronutrients, and there's so much more to it. But basically, if you, like I said in the interview, eat a little more, move a little less, or the other way around.
The other way around.
The other way around. The other way is not going to help.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is going to cause you to lose weight. You know, you're going to burn your fat stores as energy.
Okay. Can you comprehend why people picked up on the move more, eat less kind of attitude, and why people dislike that oversimplification of it? Can you see that side of it?
Yes, I can. I think people who had a very extreme reaction, this is not going to be a popular opinion. I think people who had an extreme opinion, I think they were just projecting their kind of excuses.
Right.
Like mythology. Like that, it's the way to do it. It really is. Is lower your calories.
Yeah. Except.
The factor is, people are just justifying their own physical state.
Okay. I mean, lowering your calories is a way. It's okay. Lowering your calories is a way, definitely, of losing body weight. In fact, I openly say it's the only way you can lose body weight. That is a fact. It's just a fact.
It's just a fact. It's just biology. Right? That much is true.
I could not agree more with you. I disagree slightly in the... I'm going to get it around the wrong way now. Bloody hell. In the eat less, move more is far too much of an oversimplification, and it's a very it's kind of like, the only thing I can sort of describe it as is like those, when, like, you know, when Brexit was going on,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like just the oversimplification of really complex messages throughout that whole Brexit thing, whether you were pro Brexit or pro Remain, like just the whole let's take our country back, it's not that simple. It just ain't that simple, right? No. And the permutations of both sides of the argument just ripple through so deep, and it's really hard. And there's study after study, like absolute study after study, that states people who face a weight stigmatization, and I think move more, eat less is akin to a statement that would make someone feel stigmatized about their weight. Yeah, and there's a lot of studies out there in the world that shows that those who face weight stigmatization every day are always going to find it a lot harder to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So, and it gets worse than that as well. There is one study, let me just find it here, I've got it written down here. There's a study that says weight bias and stigma, this is from the University of California in 2006, actually stopped very obese women in America getting pap tests and mammograms because they were scared about how physicians treated them. And they said that, like, they felt embarrassed when they stepped on the scale. They didn't want to get these examinations because of the negative attitudes of the physicians, the unsolicited advice about losing weight, and all of these things. And it's like this kind of oversimplification of the message of a calorie deficit And don't get me wrong, I use it all the time. Like, you only have to flick on my Instagram and go, here's a calorie deficit guy, because I really am. Can lead to these kinds of feelings in people of, it can have the complete and utter reverse effect. And I know deep down, that's not what you want. I know deep down, you don't want to have the reverse effect. You want to help these people.
I do.
Yeah. Except sometimes when we just throw a statement like that out there, and sadly, unfortunately, you ended up throwing it out on the Daily Mail and this morning.
Just this morning, I think.
Right, okay. And this morning, it can completely and utterly have the complete reverse effect on people. For thousands of reasons. Not only that, like, even if they manage to implement a calorie deficit, like, most people who are overweight, I would suggest they've probably tried to lose weight. Would you agree?
I would hope so. Yeah.
I think my mom's not overweight and she thinks about losing weight every single day. You know, my fiance is overweight and she thinks about losing weight every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm underweight and I think about trying to put on weight every single day. And it's interesting, like, the arguments are similar. Yeah. I remember in the gym I worked in, there was another personal trainer, and every time I walked past him, he'd lift up his shorts. He'd just like, sorry, let me show you one sec. He'd just stand there, and then we got on the chair, she'd ask him, stand there, and he'd just do this. Lift up his shorts to show off his quads.
Yeah.
The only thing I could get from that was he was like, I'm stronger than you. Fuck off.
Oh, no, I'm sure it had nothing to do with you and everything to do with him. You know, that's just human nature. We all have that kind of reaction.
I could not agree more with you.
Yeah.
But I'm facing a weight stigmatization. I'm almost facing a muscle stigmatization every single day. Yeah. And that made me feel pretty shitty about myself. And then there's other studies that show that if you have a sad mood, you're likely to consume at least 225 calories more. Mm-hmm. If you're classed as an emotional eater, which someone who is obese would be, if you're exposed to like a sad or happy environment, the sad people end up consuming a lot more calories and things like that. And therefore it's, you end up in this perpetual circle of a real issue. When we're kind of just throwing these random statements out there, of these kinds of things, can you see that?
I can. I think if you have 7 minutes on live TV and you've been asked how can people lose weight,
I'd said a calorie deficit. Of course. I'd have totally said a calorie deficit, and then I I can't disagree with that anymore. So in the interview as well, you talk about how you don't want to work with these kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Do you mean in terms of helping them lose weight, or do you mean in putting them into your business? Like, what did you mean by that?
I think a lot of people have really exaggerated that, and that I won't work with overweight people, which is not true whatsoever. I just meant as an employer, I would prefer not to hire someone who is extremely morbidly obese. Because there's a financial implication of that, and there is.
Would you like to go on and talk about that?
Sure, yeah.
What is the financial implication? Because that was news to me. I was like, oh, that's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of... I think they're mostly American studies that literally give a percent, like billions of dollars a year kind of thing. I mean, I could try and find it for you, but you don't edit, so probably not now. But, you know, so many billion. There's lots of studies into it. There's a UK government study into it in terms of absenteeism.
Yeah.
I think the numbers are 5 days versus 9 days. On average, I know it's a generalisation, but people who are a normal weight, like considered a healthy BMI, versus people who are obese, there are nearly twice as many days off, and that's just a statistic, and it's a government-backed statistic. It's not mine.
No, that's fine. I mean,
it doesn't apply to everyone.
No, if you can find that and send it to me, and then I'll put it in the show notes for people to look up. Sure, yeah. I looked one up. I did look one up when you said that, and I think it was American again.
Mm.
In that they like when I read it, they agreed. They said that. That I think they put it down as a 4% difference in terms of productivity. It came down to productivity, not sick days. That's what I was looking at.
A couple, yes.
A 4% difference in terms of productivity. But the point of the study was to open up industry's eyes and to give employers the empowerment to go, actually, we need to have interventions within the business to support and help this, to encourage these people to move through the business in a positive way. And almost like, it's like the global definition of health is your socioeconomic, is your community, is your health, your like your fitness, your nutrition, your finances, and all of this. Now, it is foolish to think that we don't have a, it's foolish to think we don't, as an employer, you don't take on board an employee's complete definition of health. And I think this point of this study, it felt like to me, was to push people and to basically, if people wanted to apply for funding or to try and open up a window for people going, hang on, we need to support these people a lot more and help them conquer this, because it would be better for the industry and it would be better for them and the global definition of health.
And that's a beautiful thing, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. That's awesome. So we agree with that as well.
Great.
See, look, that's what you agree with. This is amazing. Right. We're getting through it, right? We're getting through it. I do find it really interesting. Like, why do you think people get obese? Yeah.
I think it shows an underlying problem, be mm-hmm. that depression, maybe. I mean, I'm speculating.
No, I think people who are depressed put on a bit of weight, and I think people who are morbidly obese may have been depressed in the past at times. Not everybody, but it's definitely a reason. Mm-hmm. Do you think of anything else?
Food addiction. I think certainly mm-hmm. an unhealthy relationship with food.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I mean, it comes down to, again, like that global definition of health, doesn't it, really? It's like your socioeconomic, your genetics, like genuinely, like genetics have a lot to do with it, because, well, look, your hormones, your appetite hormones, ghrelin and leptin, they're genetically entwined into you, and how receptive you are to those is determined by your genes. And
if you're either going to be sort of naturally softer or naturally very lean, you're not going to really be sort of morbidly obese as a result of that.
No. But so leptin is the hormone that tells us when we're full. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it kind of lives in the stomach, I think. I don't know. I'm not an expert on ghrelin and leptin, but ghrelin is like the hunger hormone. So ghrelin is the one that goes, I need food. And leptin is the one that goes, oh, I'm full. Thank you. I kind of think of ghrelin as a gremlin and leptin as kind of like a nice little thing going, at peace. And if we are genetically disposed to not being able to listen to those hormone cues, one, if your ghrelin is out, you're going to think you're hungry a lot more than you are. So you'll end up consuming more calories. Mm. And if you're not listening to your leptin, you're going to end up consuming more calories because you're overeating to a point. So
if you're obese, it affects those hormones as well. Mm. The more obese you are, the more it's going to throw those hormones out of whack.
Right, exactly. And so then we get into this massive, massive, massive entwined thread of, like, it's not just, see, and this is why, and we bring it back to eat less, move more. This is why that can be a very, very, very triggering phrase for people, because now someone sees that. So let's just run it, for instance. Someone sees eat less, move more. Like, you're in the gym. I've seen people in the gym say it to people, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to eat less and move more. And I'm like, oh, you're really, like, it's a bit more than that. Because once they hear that, they feel weight stigmatized. Once they feel weight stigmatized, they feel stressed. Once they feel stressed, cortisol plays havoc with all of their freaking, all of their hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And then stress is pulsating through their body. And this can happen, like, this happens to people when they go to the doctor, as that California University study states. Like, it happens all over. It happens when people are walking down the road. They feel like people are looking at them and stuff. Stress rises, and we know that the more stressed someone is, the more they eat, and therefore they're going to listen to their hormones less. They're going to be eating more because they're stressed, and suddenly the balloon of obesity. That's a terrible analogy, isn't it? But you can see how kind of like obesity becomes so much more complex than we've just got to control what goes in the mouth and increase what your body produces almost. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
We agree with that as well. That's amazing. And then, yeah, mental health, as you said, like emotional coping, like how people can cope with themselves emotionally and cope with their situations emotionally, because happy and sad eating, eating disorders, all of that come into that. Like the whole web of what makes someone obese is just, it's mind-boggling, really. And when you really start looking into it, it's really difficult to unpick. I think, yeah.
The human brain's so complex.
Yeah, and it's like 2,000 years old. It's really hard to. It's more than that, isn't it? It's really hard to kind of like untrain. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about the stress hormone. Adrenaline, fight or flight. And
I've experienced that a lot recently.
Sorry.
I've experienced that a lot recently.
Yeah, right. I mean, actually, let's bring it back to you, right? You, like the last 48 hours or so, have you been feeling like, has your calorie consumption gone up?
I think the very first day that I did the interview, I treated myself to some rum and a Domino's. Right. I needed to relax.
Yeah, right? Why not? And that's because you've gone through a very stressful state, right?
Yeah. I really needed like a big old calm down, you know? Like
Yeah. And now imagine you went through that every single day. Eat less, move more. Just doesn't quite, it's just the phrase, isn't it? It's kind of a catchphrase. Yeah.
I think if you were going on live TV every day, you'd become accustomed to it though, you know?
Yeah, of course you would. And also, you know what's a matter? If you went on live TV every day, you get so much better at communicating your message.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
retrospect is such a pain.
Hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Like, when I look at old YouTube videos of me, when I listen to old podcasts of me, like, I was editing a podcast show reel the other day, and I was listening to an interview I did about 2 years ago. And it's amazing how juvenile I sound.
Really, do you think?
Yeah, in that one, just in terms of honing my message, just in terms of picking the right words, in terms of sounding like an authority on something.
It's very difficult. It's a very difficult skill.
Yeah, and also understanding, like when that red light's on, understanding you have to give yourself time to think as you're talking to someone. Like you've seen me, I'm always looking away. I'm always giving air because I'm trying to get my thoughts in the right manner. And this is a very difficult conversation, so I'm doing it even more. And TV don't care for that, do they? They don't care.
Very true.
Also, like, if we just look at what happened with The Right Show, not The Right Show, Jeremy Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you've been picked up by TV. Mm. They've basically thrown you all over ITV and then social media, I think. Has anyone called you to check how you are?
ITV have called me several times, I should say.
ITV have. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yeah,
they've been very kind, actually, very concerned and caring, actually.
Perfect. That's really good. But I wonder if that would have been the case a year ago.
I very much doubt that.
Exactly. And there's a responsibility there, isn't it? And that just goes to show how hard these things are. Yeah. To be in that situation and it is a very unnatural situation. When I've been on film sets and it's my job, it's very unnatural and it's very odd. Luckily, you got to do it from your own home. I definitely recognise that couch.
Oh yeah, I know. I thought that might be good.
It's such a quick couch. Yeah.
But yeah, I was so lucky. I mean, Corona is obviously a terrible thing, but I was so lucky that I could just Skype. Otherwise, I'm not sure I could have done it, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Sure. I'd be too scared.
Okay. Are you quite a shy person?
I'm so shy. No one believes me. I'm so shy. But like, I'm comfortable in the fact that I'm shy. You know, it's just who I am. And that's fine. You know, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Do you think that's why you like writing so much?
Absolutely. It's such a typical writer trait, isn't it? Hiding behind words.
Yeah. Keyboard warrior. No, you're not a keyboard warrior.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I don't have time for that. No, I'd never do that.
No, of course. No, that's fair enough. I mean, that's great. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the whole topic? Clarify anything?
I kept thinking, I wish I would have brought up on ITV that if you get corona and you're obese, you're twice as likely to die. So I'm hoping that someone might hear that and think, okay, crikey, perhaps I'm going to try and implement a change. It literally saves a life.
Yeah. It's been really interesting. it's been really interesting for me because I saw, like, someone sent me a video that an online personal trainer's done, very famous guy, about you. And I watched that and was like, what the? And then I caught up with another load of stuff. And I started looking into all the studies and stuff like that and everything and his opinion of it. And then I messaged you, and I was not, honestly, I was not expecting a response. And I was so happy when you said, yes, let's do it. And I was like, great. And then as we've chatted over the last 24 hours or so, like, it's dawned on me that everyone is a human.
Yeah, everyone is a human.
Mm. And really and truly, no matter what your opinion is of yourself, no matter what your opinion is of someone else, no matter what you think or your opinions or anything like that, really, we all deserve empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what aggravated people a lot about what you said on TV was it felt like there was no empathy in what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I'm sure that was because of the pressure.
So much pressure.
and like, you're such a normal, lovely, natural human being that we just need to pick things up and go, okay, well, that's that. Let's talk about it. Let's give it some air. Let's understand your point of view. Let's show empathy to others. And, like, just basically give everyone a psychological hug. And that's really what's most important. And that's kind of why I wanted to get you on, because I wanted you to just sit here and go, actually, it's just, there was a lot of misunderstanding. It's all gone a bit nuts. It was all a bit of a whirlwind. And it was just one of those crazy, crazy things. It really was. And we all have that. We all have those crazy moments, don't we? You know, there is a podcast out there, I think, that's about, like, what happened to people who had these 2 minutes in the spotlight and what, you know, and how it's affected them and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that needs as much empathy as anything else. Yeah. And the thing is you seem like a very empathetic person, and it was a shame that didn't come across.
Yeah. It's just, honestly, I was just so petrified throughout the whole thing. I literally can't even remember it. My mind has blocked it.
Yes. No.
That blur to me.
That used to happen to me on stage. I'd get on stage and I'd do a play and I'd be so, like, in the moment and all the rest of it and everything. And I'd get off and go, what did I just do? Did I get it right? And then I'd be asking all of my colleagues, like, yeah, everyone else in the play, I'd be like, did I do that? And they're like, yeah, you was fine, you was perfect. I was like, no, but I don't remember it. Did I do this? Did I move at the right time? And they're like, no, it was fine, just leave it. It's like, but you get into this, and really what blocks it is your stress, you know? And then imagine people cutting through that the entire life, all of the world. So, yeah, I suppose my main message to you might be, if you're going to write something next time, sprinkle a bit more empathy in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you read the actual blog, I mean, I think it is fairly empathetic. I mean, like I said, big is beautiful and stuff. Like, I would consider it to be more of a balanced view than it's been portrayed as, anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. You also said that we need to try and move away from normalizing larger bodies.
I really do believe that. I really do. And not overweight, not slightly overweight. I've been overweight. I really have. I mean, like, extreme ends of the scale. We really shouldn't normalize that.
What do you class? What do you class? That's right. No, go on. What do you class as an extreme end of the scale? Like, can you put a number on it in terms of BMI?
Oh, I hate when I get called this. No.
Because I know in the interview you said you gave it a dress size, didn't you? Yeah. You gave it a dress size, and I'm sure you'd take that back, wouldn't you?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I mean, I do think if you're on sort of like, I mean, I know that I said size 18, but I think you should probably start implementing some, like, a small change at that weight range. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be morbidly obese according to BMI. You'd probably know more than me.
Let me quickly look it up. I think it starts at above, I should know this, shouldn't I? But also the BMI is a way of measuring weight for the population, but it's not overly accurate in terms of things. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, there's
a lot of muscle that's completely inaccurate.
But also, there's lots of studies out there as well that says, as long as people, like, even if people are obese, as long as they have fit habits, like, as long as they still try and walk, they eat probably better than they might have done in the past. Like, as long as they have habits that relate to an overall global feeling of health, then actually the risk factors of their obesity drop dramatically. Mm-hmm. So the risk factors of being obese isn't it, just the shape of the body and the size of the body does not necessarily always relate to how, in inverted commas, dangerous having a high BMI can be, because really it comes down to their behaviors. And that's really, I think really that was what you was almost trying to say without realizing that's what you was trying to say, because you were like, I want to help them get better behaviors in their life. You wanted to get them kind of moving more without putting that up there. Right? But that's where you was literally trying to help them. It just came across as it just got wrong. Yeah, so obese starts at 30.
Okay.
Yeah. And then extremely obese.
Is that morbidly obese?
I'd imagine so. Yeah. Starts at 40. Mm-hmm. I don't think they use the word morbidly anymore.
Really?
I don't think so. Moderately obese, severely obese, all of these just say severely, very severely.
That's very interesting.
So this says severely obese is between 35 to 40. Moderately obese is 30 to 35. So there's... See, and that just goes to show how crazy, like, there's no set parameter on these things, is there? Like, I've got four graphs in front of me, and not one of them has the same data on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Very interesting.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I've generally always viewed obese starting at 30, and then probably morbidly obese starting at 40.
Right.
So it's probably, the windows are probably a bit wider than maybe.
Lots of quite wide, actually, isn't it?
Of, yeah, mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks for having me.
The Fitness Solution Podcast. It's an exclusive. Where can people find your work?
Website is SamanthaYardley.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for clearing it up. Hopefully, it's been an absolute joy. It's always nice to have these discussions, find that common ground. And then we can just sculpt, and like, it's just nuance. Fitness, all fitness is, all it's ever been, is nuance. And it's hard because we live in a world without nuance. And I think you have to kind of get past the first bit, and then once you get under it, into the, I call them the roots of fat loss. Mm-hmm. That nuance is just, it's something I swim in. Like, it's so vast and wonderful, and everyone has these different things that you need to approach it with, and these nuances you have to work with, and that's why I always put empathy first whenever I'm doing stuff like this. So, and it doesn't matter who I'm talking to, I'll always have an empathetic ear and eye. So thank you so much for coming on. From the bottom of my heart, I mean it. It's been a joy to chat to you and to get to know you.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, wonderful. And yeah, I hope your week gets better.
Thank you so much.
I hope your writing carries on, and I hope you and hopefully as a result of this, you know, maybe your writing might change a bit, or maybe, you know, you'll think a bit more about these kinds of topics and stuff, and you'll end up inadvertently helping more people by, you know, you've regressed to progress, and that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Perfect. Right. Well, that's it. I will see you again very, very soon. Thanks for listening, people. Bye. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. I found it an incredible episode to actually record. It was wonderful to have a chat with Samantha, and I can't thank her enough for coming on, being so honest, being so open, and having a really good, respectful discussion with me about the topics at hand. That's all I ever ask for. That's all we ever need, because when we both enter a discussion, or when everybody enters a discussion like that, we know we can make positive progress and we can make positive change. So my eternal thanks to Samantha, without a shadow of a doubt. Thank you very much. Don't forget, if you wanted to join the Fitness Collective, which is my fitness coaching group, app, website, whatever you want to call it, it's where it all happens. All you have to do is head over to www.thegymstarter.com. and find the bits on there that talk about the Fitness Collective, and that will take you to it. It is only £20 a month. You get the entire library of resources, over 250 meal plans, over 250 workouts,
You get all of my manuals, Squat It Like It's Hot, Be Confident, Be Strong program, Your Scale Strategy. It goes on and on and on. There's meditations in there. There's yoga in there. And we have motivation challenges each and every month as well. I think it provides incredible value. And again, at its heart, it's all about educating people, as well as getting them to build their confidence, burn a bit of muscle, but above all, burn a bit of muscle, burn a bit of fat, build a bit of muscle, but above all, teach people how to fit fitness into their lives. That's what I'm about. Thank you for listening. My name's Adam Berry. I'm the Gym Starter, and I will hopefully see you again next week. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. Bye.